everybody. Welcome to episode 76 of the Pod 5 Podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Dirty A.
And today we're going to discuss that piece of shit, Tomorrowland. And we
spoiler
have
alert!
Special, hold on. We have a special guest in the studio. Let's all welcome author Doug Simpson.
Yay!
Doug, welcome to the show.
Apparently I lost the Hodgepodge Podcast in a game of Sabic. Yep. Now I know how Orlando Carusian feels. Welcome to the Hodgepodge Podcast, everybody. I am Doug, and of course Matt is here.
Yeah.
Again.
And we are still going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics, anywhere from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com, or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or go over to iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. So, once again, we welcome our guest, Matt King, author Matt King. Hello, yeah. Matt.
Hi.
And we are going to talk about Tomorrowland, Disney's new...
I already gave my review.
Yeah, you just gave your review. Yeah, spoiler alert.
It's a small world after all.
Yeah, they worked that in there, didn't they?
I knew they would.
So we'll just jump right into it, because there's... What's going on? I mean, is there any news we need to discuss?
Any superhero news?
Any nerd news?
It's Star Wars weekend at Disney.
It is?
My brother and his family are down there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I saw those pictures.
And they're not doing anything related to the movie? Like, nothing getting released?
No. It's a year. They've been doing it for... I think they did it last year, too.
So this is different from Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah. This is just a purely at the Disney park. They just have, you know, some characters out and stuff.
Okay.
As I've been saying, I'm waiting until 2018. That's when I'll be down there.
You keep pushing that year back.
Yeah, that's 2018.
It was 2018? Yeah, because before it was 2017.
It's always been 2018. I don't know.
What happens in 2018?
That's when they're open. That's when they supposedly have set the date to open up the actual Star Wars theme park at Disney.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like they're having a whole land, like, Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
They're going balls to the wall.
Oh, it's going to be a whole new park.
That's what I'm
not
understood. It's probably going to be like the Harry Potter thing.
Yes.
That's
Universal.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, like, they saw Universal making all this money with Harry Potter. And, like, well, now we have Star Wars exclusively. You know, I mean, because they had Star Tours for a while. I mean, they still do.
And Marvel.
They still have it.
So they're probably, that could be coming too.
The Marvel thing is weird. Because Universal,
well, that's true. Universal
gets to keep what they've got as far as Marvel goes. But I think Disney can do new stuff. I don't know how it works for Marvel. But
I guarantee you they will figure it out.
There's going to be a Daredevil coaster where it's just in the dark. You can't see it.
and it's not even a roller coaster. It's just some guy shaking it. Like he's going,
put a helmet on.
And he's just like, this is bullshit.
Too soon.
You put a helmet on and then someone beats you senseless.
Yeah, a big fat guy comes in and beats you to death.
Flaming ninjas punch you through walls.
This is how Daredevil feels every day of his life.
You make it.
I wish I was Iron Man.
All I can think about is the photo you'd get after that.
You're just all swollen and bruised.
You just see a big fist coming, punching you in the face. That's the picture you get at the end. Oh, I like that. I'll take a glossy 5x10, please.
The Iron Man ride, they just ply with booze and you get increasingly more drunk.
We saw Tony Stark last night.
We did see Tony Stark last night. There's some anime thing, I think, going on downtown or something.
I heard about that.
And there's a bunch of people. Like, I drove by the McDonald's. I'm just like, what the fuck? I saw these people in costume. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Anime Tony Stark.
I know. And some big fat dude was dressed as Tony Stark. But
he wasn't that fat. I mean, he was bigger.
I thought it was like a furry convention or something.
There were plenty of furries
for sure.
But there was, but it was, it looked like it was mainly anime thing. But then there was a Doctor Who down there. Some girls dressed as Doctor Who.
I mean, any con these days is a reason to dress up as anything. Let's face it.
Except the long con. But anyway. So yeah. Well, speaking of the long con, that reminds me of Sawyer on Lost, which was partially created by Damon Lindelof, who was a writer on Tomorrowland.
See, this is why he's the host.
I still disagree with your theory here. I still disagree.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Is this a Lost theory?
It's about Tomorrowland.
Oh, God.
Basically,
I already hate it.
Basically, I told
you
him
hated
last night.
It.
I already hate your theory.
I told him last night, I said, basically, Tomorrowland is lost for kids. Yeah. It's a secret world where only certain people can get to, and the people that are there are trying to change the world.
Well, if that's the case, so is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Also written by Denzel.
Also written by Denzel.
That's different.
Oh, that's different. You know why it's different? Because it's not Doug's theory.
No, 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 because...
I of course there's similarities, but I don't think that's what Damon Lindelof was thinking when he wrote to, or when he helped write Tomorrowland. I don't think he's like, I'm going to create Lost for kids.
I think he was.
So anyway, let's start talking about Tomorrowland.
Okay, so Tomorrowland...
We're pretty excited.
Yeah, I was really excited for this movie.
You were definitely way more excited than I was, but... I was excited for the idea of it, but I didn't really hold any real expectations.
Well, I'm a big fan of Brad Bird.
Yeah,
Brad Bird is the director and co-writer on this.
He's the word.
He must accept much of the blame. If you don't know Brad Bird, he wrote and directed The Iron Giant. Then he did The Incredibles, which was...
Wonderful.
Really good.
Really good.
And then he was brought in by Pixar to save, basically, Ratatouille, which turned out great. Ratatouille turned out great. And then he actually did his first live action a few years ago. He did the Mission Impossible 4, which was fantastic all the way until the very end, which...
Oh, the
the reveal about the wife. It was garbage.
Yeah, they petered
it
that in.
Garbage.
I didn't see it.
Oh, man. It's like...
It's basically like the emotional aspect, like the wife's dead, and then at the end, oh wait, she's not dead, she's just in like protective services. There she is over there. It's like, oh come on.
But it's like, but yeah, it was, yeah. Except for that ending, it was a fantastic movie. But that when I reviewed it, I was like, this ending drops it down a full letter grade for me because it just
because it just
destroyed.
It didn't kill it like for me that badly, but it certainly. Took a lot because it took the emotion out of his character.
Yeah.
It just deflated it like that.
So Brad Bird is he's got a lot of capital in Hollywood. And then there was talk that he was going to be doing Star Wars, and then he said no, I'm doing this project for Disney called Tomorrowland, and the quote unquote story behind this project is that there was a box or something full of nostalgic crap or something from the 50s and 60s and that Walt Disney had or something. It smacked a lot of, do you remember the Sentry from Marvel Comics?
Yes.
And how they said, oh, it's an old Stan Lee character, and it turned out to be a bunch of bullshit. Well, that's what this sounds like, this background story. And so what it turns out, on Wikipedia basically said that Tomorrowland started out as a Damon Lindelof thing, and then they brought Brad Bird in to direct it. And everybody keeps calling this movie an original movie, but when it's based on a piece of a theme park, I don't think you can really call it original.
If you're not aware, at Disney, they do have like a little theme area. It's not like a full park, but it's in, I don't remember, is it Magic Kingdom?
It's part of Magic Kingdom.
Part in Magic Kingdom called Tomorrowland. And it's more of an exhibit.
It's where Space Mountain is.
Yeah, right behind Space Mountain. Yeah.
Well, Space Mountain is in Tomorrowland.
Oh, is it actually considered part of?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that would make sense.
So that's like calling the Pirates of the Caribbean movies like original movies. They're not. They're based on a ride at Disney World. So this is kind of similar in a way. Because people were like, oh, it original movies like Inception and this stuff, and it's just like, no, Inception was a original thing that he did. This is based on a Disney ride. Evidenced by the Disney characters that showed up at the World's Fair.
It's still original.
Donald Duck cameos.
In that a ride doesn't have a story.
Well, that's true. But I mean, but still.
Actually, the Big Bad Wolf was in it.
Yes.
He was. He made a cameo. So did some other Disney
characters. The rabbit from Alice in Wonderland was in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then he rides on A Small World.
He does.
Anyway. Yeah. I can't wait for that movie next. It's A Small World. Oh, it's called Ant-Man. So... Thank you. I'm here all week. So the story for Tomorrowland, and spoilers.
Actually, it would be a very big world for Ant-Man.
Spoilers in advance. It's a big country. Big dream state with you.
In a big country.
Yeah, you said good luck. Yeah, good luck trying to piece the story together. So the movie starts with this weird prologue thing that was totally unnecessary. It really dumbs it all down for the audience. And
it was basically a way to just...
It was a framing device.
Throw Clooney on there.
Exactly what it was. It was, we got to get George Clooney on the screen immediately.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't. You don't. But, okay. So, there's like a framing device, and then it goes into the story about this little boy named Frank,
who is George Clooney as a little boy. And he's like a boy inventor type thing. And he goes to the World's Fair in Flushing, New York. I don't know why he didn't run into Howard Stark, but he goes to the World's Fair, not Stark Expo. Wink. So he goes there, and they're having some contest for inventors, with the grand prize being a whopping $50. But that was 1964 money, so it was probably like $100,000 at that time. So
that's a lot of inflation.
It's like Euro trip. A nickel. I'm going to buy my own hotel. So he built a semi-functioning jetpack. And that was a funny scene when he's testing it out. And Hugh Laurie is there, and he plays a guy named Nix. And he scoffs at him. And then there's a little girl there named Athena.
He basically gives him the life lesson.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yeah. There's a little girl there named Athena, who you assume is Nix's daughter. And she takes a shine to little Frank, and she gives him this pin that you've seen in the trailer. It's got the T on it. And then he goes into It's a Small World. He follows them into It's a Small World. And there's some laser activates the thing. And then all of a sudden...
He's shuttled off into
Tomorrowland, exactly. Then, after all that happens, it cuts to this girl played by Britt Robertson. Her name's Casey. And she is a young genius who... her father works for NASA, and they're going to can him. And so she's trying to sabotage their dismantling of whatever.
The launch platform. Yeah.
And she gets arrested. And in the interim, someone, I wonder who, slips her a pin. And then she...
Wait, who?
She touches the pin. And as you've seen, if you've seen the trailers, she sees Tomorrowland. But she's technically not there.
What you don't know from the trailer is that, yes, she's not... It doesn't transport her to Tomorrowland. It just gives her a vision of it. But she's still confined within the reality of her space.
Right. Like she's bumping into walls and shit.
So that leads to some funny scenes.
Yeah. So she becomes obsessed with this thing, and she has to find out where it goes. And it was kind of ridiculous how they had this girl who's in high school, I guess, going all over the country.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally went from Florida to Texas, and they're like, oh, we just have to go to New York. And I'm like, you know how long that car ride is?
And in the interim, no one's really looking for her.
Yeah, nobody cares. The father's like, just like, whatever. Tim McGraw plays her father. Yeah. I guess he was writing some sad country songs. Right. Don't you dare write a song right now, Dewey Cox. Walk hard. I'm going to walk hard.
Walk hard.
So eventually she goes to Houston because she finds some website or something, that some collectible store, and Dirty A thought was the coolest store he's ever seen.
It was an awesome store. I want to live in that store.
Which was basically, hey, we have the license to Star Wars. Let's put all the Star Wars crap in this place.
First thing they walk in, they immediately walk in. The first thing the camera focuses your eye on is the X-Wing flight suit. And then it pans over to Han Solo and Carbonite, and then, oh, wait, there's R2-D2 over there. It's not beep, boop, boop, okay? R2-D2 makes a series of intricate bell and whistle noises, not beep, boop, boop.
That is a frequent misquote. It's boop, beep, beep.
So she shows the people that at the store, played by Catherine Hahn and Keegan-Michael Key. He was funny. Yeah. And, she shows them the pin, and they immediately get all weird on her. And they ask about the little girl. And Athena, the little girl from the beginning of the movie, shows up and saves her, doing kung fu and stuff, like she's in the Matrix. Yeah. And you find out that the people in the store are robots. And then...
And so is she.
And so is she, which I thought was one mistake number one. But...
she being Athena.
Not
the daughter.
Yeah, not Casey. So... Then they go in search of old Frank, played by George Clooney, and hilarity ensues as they try and get back to Tomorrowland.
And Clooney plays it really subtly there.
I don't know.
He's a bit crotchety.
Yeah, he is. But I mean, I liked him in the role. I liked him fine. Yeah. I liked the girl fine. I liked Casey. She was good. Basically, what they kind of establish is that these robots have been looking for Athena all this time. But she apparently got thrown out of Tomorrowland years and years and years ago. And I'm like, and they haven't found her? I'm like, you know, it. But as soon as they get back to Tomorrowland, that's immediately forgotten. And so when they were freaking out.
What do you mean?
Like they're just like when they get back, it's not even like a big deal that she's back. Hugh Laurie's just like, oh, nice to see you. You know, it's like, that's it.
Well, I mean, he's just playing the.
No, but I mean, they made it seem like there was like they were like on the hunt for her. Like she was uber important.
I think they were. And I don't think that. I didn't take that scene as I mean, he had her at that point. So he's like, whatever. Here you are.
Had her for what purpose?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the. I don't. Are we spoiling everything about this movie?
Why not?
I mean, this is where it didn't fully fall apart on me, because the whole idea was that Hugh Laurie wanted this to happen, right? He wanted
the world to end.
So he was trying to find her because she was trying to stop it. She was recruiting people that might be able to stop that from happening. Mm-hmm. So his character's motivation for catching her, that's it, because he was trying to, they were on opposing sides of,
I guess,
what was going on.
He definitely needed to be more nefarious. Basically, what's happening is that...
Yeah, but the idea of... I agree in the confines of this story, because it's for kids, he did need to be more nefarious, as you say.
Oh, I feel like he needed to be more like Ra's al Ghul.
But the way they set him up, it's not like he was evil. He just... He saw a different argument of the whole thing.
No, he was completely indifferent. And that's a horrible motivation for a villain. He was like the worst passive aggressive parent you've ever met in your life. You're not gonna eat your food? Fine, then starve. Whatever. I'll just sit over here and watch TV.
That's
a terrible villain.
He wanted, you know, in his whole soliloquy at the end there, he wanted the world. Well, yeah, he did not feel there was any way he could save it. So he was just like, fuck it.
But see, I don't think he was trying to save it. Like. The reason why I say
he wasn't,
but that's why I say Ra's al Ghul is because he's like, you know, we'll wipe this clean and then we'll rebuild it, you know, because you can't be trusted with it, we'll redo it. Like, they should have given him that tack because it would have made more sense.
He doesn't fucking care. He doesn't live on that planet.
Well, then that brings us to our other thing. So basically, what happens is that Frank has this countdown clock that's basically counting down to the end.
He built it,
and what it turns out, spoilers, is that. The thing that he built is basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, it's transmitting, like, bad feelings. It's almost like Ghostbusters 2. It's transmitting bad feelings back to Earth, because Tomorrowland is in another dimension.
They don't know that. He doesn't know that at the time.
Right. He doesn't know that.
Even more stupid.
Yeah, I'm explaining
it. Now you're explaining it.
It's transmitting bad feelings back to Earth that's basically making the people of Earth...
Self-fulfilling prophecies.
Destroy the world.
So, back it up a little bit.
Right.
What we didn't mention about Tomorrowland is that originally, when it was created, they filled it with all these scientists and genius minds.
The dreamers.
To create...
The Imagineers of Disney.
Right. to create things that would help progress life in the world and sustain it. And then it somehow all falls apart. And that's where the movie falls apart, because they don't really do a good job of explaining why it fell apart.
Yeah, why is Tomorrowland, like you said,
because at the end, it's all decrepit and shit. And
you're like, why? Yeah. It's like, why did that happen here?
Yeah.
Now you're putting that together now.
I assume, and again, faulty assumption, because there's nothing to back it up, is that at some point, Governor Nix, Hugh Laurie's character, just expels everyone from Tomorrowland because he realizes that the world can't be saved. But I don't know.
If the reason Tomorrowland is decrepit is because the world has gone to shit, he's the one that's keeping the world thinking that it's going to go to shit. So isn't he the one that is keeping Tomorrowland shitty?
Well, no. Okay, so he doesn't know at the time. Remember that theory on the machine transmitting the bad
thoughts? No, because that's what George Clooney says. He goes, you do know about this. You do know this is happening. Right. He's like, yes. And then it's like, but that's why I say that they should have gone the Ra's al Ghul route, because he's just like, I'm just going to let it happen because why not? You know, it's like that was his whole motivation. Why not?
Well, he basically, through his words, he feels that the people don't deserve to live because they don't
have any motivation to win.
Because they won't finish their vegetables.
Because they love the idea of the apocalypse. Because
oh,
like,
God.
Which
that
is
was
so
stupid. Yeah, that's the
he was like, you know, we've shown you these images of...
No, you have not.
Yeah, really.
Like, you have not.
The apocalypse, you know, famine, disease, and you make games about it and movies and you love it.
Yeah, it's like it's the anti-video game speech.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, this isn't the first time the speech is given in this movie.
No.
No, yeah, this
every
movie...
piece of dialogue in this movie is turns out to be some kind of monologue for people should be better.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they
you
really...
You should feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
You're bad, and you should feel bad.
Listen to us. Having a trike podcast on the end of the world. We're no better than people.
We're
in
the
this
reason
movie.
That Tomorrowland is you know dirty now.
Yeah, they really beat you over the head with everything in this movie.
Yeah.
They just, you know, you mentioned Clooney. I didn't mind Clooney's, you know, crotchety character. I didn't mind that as much, but
he's a little over the top, just a tad.
Well, I actually liked him. I did too, but he does have that bipolar aspect, like where all of a sudden he's so like, and then all of a sudden he's like, ah, we can save everything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He flips that switch pretty quickly.
Yeah, really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, the girl was good.
Yeah.
What's her face? What's her name?
Britt Robertson.
Yeah.
She's from Under the Dome.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I liked her character. She was fine.
Athena
bothered me.
I couldn't tell if she was a bad actress.
Yeah. Or just trying to play the robot card.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell. Like,
I'm sorry, not robot.
I feel like she was probably an okay
actress.
Whatever
word they use for everybody.
It's really tough for kids to act like
an adult. Yeah, because that's her thing. Like the little boy, like when Frank was a little boy, he was fine because he was just a little kid.
Yeah.
But she is like this robot that's lived for decades. So it's like, you know, she has, yeah, you're right. Like she has all the experience of like an adult, but she's still a kid. So, you know, it is weird. That thing did get a little creepy.
It got
too.
Super creepy at the end of the movie.
Because it's clear that little Frank has a crush on her, and then he gets exiled.
You know what happens? You know what happens when you grow up and something doesn't grow up with you? You don't love that thing anymore.
Because that happens all the time.
Yeah. There's just that weird speech at the end.
Yeah.
Where she's talking about how her programming failed because she started to have these feelings that weren't, you know,
right,
a part of her programming. And so she's trying to say that she fell in love with Frank when he was a boy, and now he's 60-something staring down
I think,
at her.
I think the probably, you know, where there was Lindelof or Bird or whoever, I think the idea was probably more, it wasn't falling in love, just the idea of loving something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did not translate to the scene.
Well.
No,
it didn't come across.
I'm sure the idea was was okay. The execution, not so much.
Right.
Because then you've got, you know, the climax of this movie, and you've got this 9-year-old telling George Clooney how much she loved him. You know, it's like, and he said they're crying, and you know, it's just a very creepy.
It was a creepy vibe.
Creepy ending. Creepy vibe.
Yeah.
Put your pee in my place where my V should be.
I did like her last line though. That was funny.
Yeah,
I didn't laugh because you're not funny.
I called that line.
Yeah.
I kind of ruined that for people.
And then he said, "Then get the hell out of here. You're like my jokes, bitch.
Die, robot."
Visually, the movie was stunning. It was a very pretty movie.
It looked good.
I think if I had to liken it to anything, I'd say it is like into a ride at Disney. You get on, you enjoy a thrill, and then you get off and don't remember it ever again.
And then complain about the villain being not villainous.
So I didn't.
Weak villain.
I just kind of walked in there and enjoyed the movie for the visuals, and I agree that the dialogue was complete shit. But I didn't let that take me out of the movie. I still thought it was pretty fun. But I can't really argue the fact that it's a good movie. It's not.
I thought it was an interesting origin story for Dr. House.
Right. Right.
Because at the end of the movie, you know, he gets his leg
broken.
That's
how he gets his limp.
That's how he gets his limp.
Of course.
Yeah, but then he also dies.
Well,
well, it's it's not only an origin story, but it's a finality.
Yes, it's the entire series wrapped up.
So what happened was, in those minutes before he dies, he transmutes his body to Earth.
The intern turns into Diagnosis Murder.
Right. Well, he does get transported along with Clooney, who was in ER.
Oh, here we go.
To Earth for that, couple minutes.
That's right.
On an island.
Is that a crossover?
Yes, an
island. And I believe I saw a smoke monster. That's the background. And a polar bear. Yeah.
Basically what it all boils down to is that Damon Lindelof should not be writing kids' material.
An unexplained polar bear.
Yeah. I think he actually needs to take a break from writing in general.
He's good with, TV stuff. He's good with TV. Because The Leftovers on HBO is actually not bad.
Oh, has that gotten a second season?
Yes, but they're changing it completely because they've already used up the material that was in the novel, The Leftovers, which was not a bad novel. It was good. It was decent. But, he's okay on TV. It's just that, he just can't do movies. I mean, and it's getting to that point where it is like that. It's like just because somebody's good on TV, running shows and stuff like that, they're not necessarily going to be good at movies.
Right.
It's
not a one-for-one equation on that.
Right. Because TV, you have all this time to tell the story.
You can expand a larger story.
But with movies, it's got to be tight and I was just disappointed, not because of Lindelof, because Lindelof, I try to defend him because I liked Lost.
I love Lost.
Even the ending of Lost, I didn't mind the ending of Lost.
Yeah, I think the naysayers tried to kill that ending, but people guessed what it was.
Right, but the more I see of his stuff,
that was my problem. I love Lost. I watched it, from beginning to end,
right,
religiously. I think I had expectations because of how intricate the whole plot seemed to me, that the ending was going to be just as intricate, when in fact it turned out to be the exact same thing that everybody predicted in season one.
Yes and no. Because that's the little twist that they did put on it, that they were only dead in that last season. Everything on the island actually happened. It's just that the sideways, the sideways jump, that they were all dead waiting for each other to move on to the next stage of existence. But
to go to Tomorrowland.
To go to Tomorrowland. See, I told you. So, but when they were on the island, all that stuff really happened.
I'm going to start calling heaven Tomorrowland.
So we got a question from on Twitter.
You're getting questions.
I'm getting questions. See, I announce when I start doing these podcasts, and then people can send in questions.
I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah, I know you're not.
I am on Twitter, but I post when they're up, so people know that I'm on the podcast.
Well, we're doing things differently now that I run the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Is the question, is Dirty A as handsome as he sounds on the podcast?
How did you know?
The answer is yes.
Wait a second. It's from Dirty A 69.
That's my favorite number.
Chris Holt asks, is George Clooney secretly your dad? Yes, and it's not a secret.
Not a secret.
Not a secret.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
He actually did play a guy named Matt King.
He did, in The Descendants.
Yes.
That was a great movie.
So are you junior then?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually a robot that,
doesn't age.
Right.
See, I thought she was going to be like the princess of Tomorrowland or something like that. And she just didn't age or something like that. So like, we have to find the princess or something like that. And it's like, that's why she would have been important.
They could have matched it up with Jupiter Ascending. And she
I did watch that Honest Trailers. And I think we need to sue them.
We do need to sue them. They basically summarized our podcast in 3 minutes.
But then what they could have done is when they're like, oh, did the girl give this? We're looking for the girl. They should have turned it around and they were looking for the other girl. Like, maybe she was important somehow, more than she was.
But when you look at what the plot was, no one was important.
That's the thing.
Nobody was. I mean,
so apparently nobody is special and nobody should go to Tomorrowland.
Also, maybe you guys can clarify. So, at the end when he is recruiting again.
Right.
And everyone's like, whistle while you work. And they're going out like...
Yeah.
Those
are actually the people from
Does he not light a fire under them to say, well, you still only got 59 days, guys?
No, because what they said was...
Hope set the clock back.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
What they said was, when they blew up the monitor, they were like, that was a year ago. You know, so like it was they said we gave ourselves more time.
Okay.
That, yeah, they said that. They said all right. That. Yes. Yeah, yes.
And why do they have to leave the pins in secret? Well, why can't they leave the pins and give a little explanation?
Yeah, no.
You know, instead of just being like, woo, sliding across the table and then running away.
Especially the pilot. That was disturbing. The pilot one. There was a one pilot. I'm like, I sure hope he's not on the fucking plane.
I'm in Tomorrowland.
And then he just disappears from Tomorrowland. Again.
Lost. That's how that plane
Oceanic
crashed.
Flight 4. What was it? What was the Oceanic Flight?
Oceanic Flight
4.
Four.
Shit. That's exactly the flight. Yeah. Oceanic Flight. 411, no.
17?
6, 7, 8. 815?
No. It's 4 something, right?
I don't think so.
Some of my friends are going to shoot me. They're such huge velocities. Oceanic Flight 4?
I don't think it's 4. I think it's like 6 or 8, isn't it?
I don't know.
Starts with an 8.
Clearly, I don't know.
Somebody texting you right now saying it's this because we're not.
God damn it. So 8:15.
I was
right. That's
8:15.
What I said. Yay. I was right.
It's
4:16. I just won the same podcast thing. Back.
Damn it.
So, Tomorrowland, Dirty A, would you recommend Tomorrowland?
If you got kids, they'll love it, I think. I think
that's stupid.
Yeah, the problem, the clear problem with this movie is that it tries to strike this balance between being a kids movie and being for adults, and that's extremely hard to do, and this does not find its footing to do that. Mm-hmm. But to me, that was the problem. It needed to go one way or the other, and not try to walk this tightrope. I think if you got kids, go see it. If you got time as a matinee and you want to kill some time as an adult, it's fun to visually watch. Otherwise, just wait. Just wait and see it on DVD.
No.
Matt?
I think Tomorrowland's biggest problem is that it's a movie that I think Bird wanted to be inspiring, mm-hmm. but it came across as preachy.
Yes.
Instead.
Oh, yeah.
It was very heavy-handed. Oh, yeah. Themes. He tells you the point of the movie, he comes out and says
many times
what our problem is. And, you know, when I say it's meant to be inspiring, I think what he's trying to do is get people excited about space travel. And, you know, he's like, this, the reasons we're not progressing, you know, as a species, I guess, is because we're not dreaming anymore. We're not, you know, back in the 60s when there was a whole moon race, you know, part of that was fueled by this obsession with space, you know, getting up to the moon. You know. We don't have anything like that anymore. NASA, he's very heavy-handed in the whole thing with NASA.
It's gone the way and it needs to come back.
Yeah. So clearly he's a big fan of NASA.
Yeah.
I said to you after it was done that it came across that he did not trust the audience to make these determinations. Yeah. Like he could have gone about it in such a more subtle fashion, mm-hmm. and let the audience sort of become inspire themselves. They should see something like this and feel like, oh, that's something that we need to aspire to, not to be told, here, you should aspire to this, and this is why your world is shitty. I don't think people will get inspired to do stuff like that by people telling them to be inspired. They have to actually come up with the idea themselves, and or feel like they come up with the idea themselves, and then they'll take action. But he does not trust his audience at all. He just flat out tells them what the point of the movie is, and it's just the movie suffers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a very pretty movie.
Yeah, it is.
It has some good performances. It's just,
well, that's where I think the breakdown is, though, because I think the dialogue, what you're saying, is definitely 100% steered to the kids, who in a lot of ways you're not going to trust to grasp that mm-hmm. idea. You've got to kind of throw it at them, but not this much.
Not this much. No.
And you're certainly going to lose the adults with that dialogue. But you know what? Someday we'll find it. The Rainbow Connection.
It's a different movie. That was some pretty serious analysis.
Thanks.
You
said you talked out your ass.
Yeah.
I would, on one hand, agree with Dirty A that people should just wait Don't go rush out and see this in the theater. There's really no need to see it in the theater. It is a pretty movie, but for me, the plot and everything, it just falls apart. And it just, by the end, you're just like, and it's so heavy-handed. I was just, my eyes were rolling out of my head. I mean, and it's like, it got to the point where I was, where I was saying, enough with your liberal hippie bullshit. Shut up. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, a lot of stuff he's talking about is stuff I actually agree with.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and same here. But it's like...
It's like, this is the stuff I want to support, but it's like, this is a horrible way to go about it.
Yeah, you don't, just say, fuck you, you suck, now do this. Yeah. You know, it's like, you don't tell people that. So it's like...
No, you hand them a pen and show them...
with no explanation.
No explanation.
I mean, I would say, you know... Because Interstellar had its problems too, but I would say Interstellar was more, it was similar in that they were saying, oh, we have to go back into space and do this and yada, 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 yada. But I would say that was more inspiring than this because that's.
But again, that was.
They actually did it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that again, it shows you that's. And that was a full on adult.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. That's, I mean, not for that, kids at all.
Right. So.
But it's like, you know, you're right. It is hard because, I mean, you know, I'm looking around your room and all this Star Wars stuff that's in here. It's like, in Star Wars, you know, they didn't dumb that down for kids. I mean, Star Wars is a movie for kids,
that's the problem.
They don't dumb it down.
Things have
the
changed.
Pixar movies don't dumb it down. Some of them. Well, yeah, it's like Cars. Right. But I'm talking about like the good Pixar movies. Right. Like The Incredibles.
The Incredibles.
And it's, and that's the thing. That's what killed me about this movie. That I'm just like, you did The Incredibles for Pixar and it was like, that movie has got some serious themes in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why I'm kind of like, Brad Bird deserves blame because he was the director and co-writer, but I'm like, maybe it was Lindelof's fault. Because it's like, because one of these things was not involved in The Incredibles, and it's this guy with the glasses right here. This bald guy with the glasses. The bald guy with the glasses.
Oh, okay. It's Lindelof. Talking about me. All right.
And also, speaking of which, Incredibles... Brad Bird is signed on. There will be Incredibles 2.
Yeah, because he saw the final cut of this movie. He said, oh, fuck, I'm going to do Incredibles 2. I'm about to lose all my clout.
We will see it in Incredibles 2, and it will probably also be really good.
Yeah. Above average.
Yeah. Above average,
all
2.
Yeah.
Still the best Fantastic Four movie ever.
It is. It really is. Yep. And that's what's sad about it. It's like, you know, I mean, even the end.
It looks like it's not going to be challenged in August.
No.
Have you watched those clips? I didn't watch those clips.
Oh, with the powers?
I didn't watch
from
it.
From what I heard, it's a recut from what's already in the trailers. So, I mean, Johnny Storm looks awesome.
Well, that's, again, none of these clips are going to change my focus on the movie because it's going to come down to the story, and that's where I think it's going to eat shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks nice. Cool.
Right? It does look cool.
I never thought it would not look cool.
Fantastic Four should be about adventure because they're adventurers. They're, you know, interdimensional space adventurers.
Well, that and Clobberin.
And Clobberin. Got to get in some Clobberin in there. But this just seems to be taking a really serious and sort of moody look at the Fantastic Four, which is just not...
He said he's
going the Nolan route.
It is.
Not even that. He said he keeps on comparing it to Cronenberg. And he's like, I'm going like a body horror route.
Okay.
No, see, that's a problem. Because that's just not the Fantastic
Four. Unless he puts Jeff Goldblum in there as the Fly. Yeah. Then I'll watch that movie. I'll watch that movie all day long.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know. we've witnessed.
Jesus, I'm still having nightmares.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Thing, like, you know, pressing his fingers down, his fingernails coming off. And, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah,
like liquefying his food.
She becomes invisible while peeling off her skin. Yeah.
Oh no, that's in Venture Brothers. That's Venture Brothers. Like Johnny Storm is on fire all the time as long as he's in oxygen. He's just like and then the Thing is Sue Storm. Only her skin turns invisible.
So you see all her organs and
shit. Stephen Colbert plays Mr. Impossible, and he does the whole thing, and he does all the Mr. Fantastic stuff. And then the Thing is basically like he's like mentally challenged, and he just becomes like a human callus. He's like, no pain, no pain. You hurt Johnny. He's Venture Brothers. You gotta watch Venture Brothers, man. That show is hilarious. I love that
I've
show.
I've only seen a couple seasons of it.
Oh, my God. I love that show. I don't know when they're coming back. They did this big...
They had the weirdest season.
It's literally just like the two of them, basically. Because they go to New York Comic Con all the time, and I've seen them do a couple of talks, and they're funny as shit. But and I actually ran into my friend and I were in Virgin Megastore when it used to be Union Square, and we actually ran into Doc Hammer. He was in the store, and then my friend walked past me and went, "Go Team Venture." He's like, "Hey, thanks, man." that's a great show. That's a great show. Again, another Fantastic Four that's better than film. Look, with Fantastic Four, I'll just be happy as long as like the thing doesn't constantly turn into Michael Chiklis every 5 minutes.
You might be happy
because that was the Sam Raimi Spider-Man thing that annoyed me. You know, like we talked about in a past podcast, he's always taking off his mask. You know, the thing's always turning back. It's like if you're turning back to Ben Grimm, then you've succeeded. You're done. The story's over now. It's like that's it, because that's what Reed
that's
Richards
what they're trying to do. That's
what Reed Richards like. That was his whole thing that he was trying to do after they transformed. It's like I'm gonna fix Ben. That's all it was. And it's
what's that, Ben? You don't want to be fixed anymore?
No, I love that rubber suit.
Yeah. Really.
What does it say? Really locks in the juices.
really seals in the juices.
Is there a little girl home alone in here? Daddy needs help getting his rocks off.
Yes, Arrested Development. A new start. Michael Chiklis was fine as the thing. I mean, the costume was terrible, but yeah. I mean, he was fine. I liked him as the thing.
Yeah, he and Johnny Storm.
Chris Evans was fantastic as Johnny Storm. Except the fact that he didn't have blonde hair and they called him Blondie. I was like, really?
They did?
There's one. I'm positive there's one line where he calls him Blondie.
Hmm.
And he doesn't have blonde hair. It's like,
in the comics, I had blonde hair.
Yeah. And his hair is looking kind of dark as Captain America, too.
I'm like,
Cap, are you frosting your hair? It's like, are you a metrosexual Captain America? And then, of course, Jessica Alba was hot, but just terrible as Sue Storm. She was fucking terrible.
Right.
She's a terrible actress.
Well,
I love her. She's beautiful, but she is a terrible actress.
Terrible actress, especially in that role where you're supposed to be a fucking scientist.
Yeah. Well, that's like Denise Richards.
James Bond.
Christmas Jones.
Christmas.
Sweet Christmas, indeed.
Oh, God, that was awful. Yeah. If you're gonna, this goes right back to the Hollywood and women roles, right? Fucking give them a real, role. If a woman's gonna play a scientist, let that woman play a goddamn scientist.
Let that woman be a stripper scientist.
Right. That's all we're saying. Give her a pole.
I mean, we're talking equality. That's what we're talking.
You know, I think Hollywood should just adopt the Frank Miller stance, where every woman is just a hooker or a prostitute.
Oh my God.
Speaking of which, did y'all see the thing on the internet this week? Where it was Patton Oswalt showed his deleted scene from Mad Max Fury Road.
No.
He was on Conan.
I was on Conan, yeah. He was on Letterman's last night.
He was talking about the guy with the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows his deleted scene, and he's a stand-up on a car telling jokes. He's just like, whoa! He's like, oh, just look what the world's come to. It's only been 5 weeks since Ted Cruz has become president of the United States. So he's just got this mic on top of a car.
God, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was
I gotta watch that.
It was good.
I saw him on Bits on Conan on Dave's last night. Dave Letterman's last night.
Yeah, that was pretty classy. They're basically like, if you're watching this right now, you need to turn over to Letterman.
We got really off topic, but that's okay.
I blame myself.
It's okay.
It's a hodgepodge.
It is a hodgepodge.
Things to talk about.
It is a hodgepodge. Yeah.
When it's my show, we talk about whatever we want.
I do wonder though, for all the tens of listeners that we have, if they like will start listening and being like, the fuck are they talking about? Like, if they can even follow what we're talking about at all.
We're talking about
what's going on?
And Fantastic Four and
Is he
going to
talk like that the whole time?
Well, it was a good segue into Fantastic Four, because, like you said, Incredibles is the best Fantastic Four.
Well, I just wonder, when we're, like, explaining a movie, people, like, can even follow what the hell we're talking about.
We normally get about 25% of the plot before we just break it down and then just break down into analysis mode.
That's true.
We should let Doug finish one day.
No, because I get tired of doing it too. Because I don't
the free flow.
Because right. Even though I say spoilers, I don't like to spoil every single little thing about it. But it's like
it depends on the movie.
It depends on the movie. Like if it's a good movie, we try not to spoil anything. But if it's a bad movie, sorry, game on.
Yeah.
Because
and sometimes
because you have to.
Sometimes it is impossible to talk about a movie without delving into.
Yeah, because we liked Interstellar, but we had to talk. Yeah. We had to do spoilers on that too, and Inherent Vice too. Because if anybody can figure that out,
if you can, I still.
My friend downloaded that, and he's like, "What is this Inherent Vice movie?" I'm like, "I liked it, but don't even try and figure out the plot, dude." Yeah. I was like, "Just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, enjoy Joaquin Phoenix doing weird shit with James
Joaquin
Rowland.
Phoenix. That's all you had to say,
right? Yeah. Yeah. Sold.
Yeah,
and P.T. Anderson.
Oh
my god.
Yeah, Inherent Vice. It was good. It was a fun movie, but by the end, you're like, "What?
Hi, what topic?"
Multipanakickle! Hi!
I don't know what that is, but I want it as my ringtone.
Josh Brolin in Inherent Vice.
Oh, okay.
In his Thanos costume for some reason. That was strange.
That's odd. That's odd.
It's an odd move.
Look, crossover.
Oh, he was looking for the gauntlet.
Now it all makes
sense. Now we know what the Inherent Vice
Speaking
is.
Of Guardians, I believe James Gunn announced that he has begun casting.
Yeah, and there will be an extra Guardian.
There will be, and he said it's his favorite character in that universe.
Pikachu. It will be Pikachu.
I was driving down the road going to work, and I saw a dead raccoon lying in the street, and I just went, Rocket! I'm so sad. Poor I had to leave work.
You didn't stop that, did you? You just kept on driving.
Well, he was dead.
Cold.
He was dead. What am I going to do?
Did you take his pulse? How do you know he was dead?
Because he was not moving in the street. And plus, they're riddled with disease. So so good. He's casting great.
Yeah, well.
I mean, yeah, but casting
is... Speaking of Guardians, I saw a post. It might have been from... It was from The Nerdist. And it was Chris Pratt. And they said, he's already apologizing for the... Jurassic World press tour, and I'm like, wait, is he saying he's already apologizing for Jurassic World? I was like, he's preempting any bad thing he might say.
Yeah, he was doing a joke. Yeah,
I know, but I was like, oh, is it really going to be that bad? Yeah. Awesome.
I saw a commercial yesterday. I thought it was like, I mean, it was still a Jurassic World promo, but I thought it was like going to be the trailer on TV, and then it's like cuts to Barbasol. It was a Barbasol commercial. Collect all three limited edition cans.
Are you serious?
CapturedTheCan.com. Thank you, Barbasol.
It's a Jurassic World crossover with Barbasol?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck me. But I will say the last TV spot, or the last, there's probably 100 of them, the one with the new Imperator Flip Rex or whatever it is, that new TV spot where it's just the shot of the egg, it's like zooming in on the egg as it's starting to crack, and the I-Rex is getting ready to come out, and it's flashing to all the shit that is wrecking in the park.
I'm super excited.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's better than...
Well, this is coming from someone who didn't even see the last one.
Didn't see three?
Three is
it's
okay.
Mediocre.
It's mediocre. It's okay.
I see everything. And
it's like 90 minutes long, maybe.
But this I think we've already discussed this. This assumes that 2 and 3 never took place.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. This movie is at it only one Jurassic Park. Is the only one this movie assumes took place.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It doesn't. 2 and 3 are wiped off the map.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, think about it. How are you ever going to open up a park if a dinosaur has been released?
Well, that was my whole thing with this movie. It's like, how many times can you
this
is going to totally work.
This movie assumes that 2 and 3 didn't take place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I need to say that in the trailers, then.
Yeah, they kind of need to steer you in that direction. Also, I'm not sure, but I know that the movie was taking flack for Bryce Dallas Howard being, playing a very Hollywood typical role, but in this
role.
Last trailer, it kind of looks like that might not be the case. It kind of looks like that's just what they initially showed her as, because she looked like she was kind of badassy in one of the parts of the trailer. So maybe they didn't do that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the box office now for the weekend. Tomorrowland is number one.
With what? 32 million.
Oh, because you last night I think you told me Pitch Perfect might have beat it.
Yeah,
so it did.
Pitch Perfect.
It edged out.
It edged out by $2 million.
Oh, Avengers is number 5 now.
Yes, Avengers number 5.
Poor bastards.
It only crossed $400 million.
When are they ever going to catch a break?
I know.
Mad Max was number 3 with about almost $24 million, which was about on target. They said it would probably make about 25.
Yeah.
Poltergeist was $23 million.
Oh, that debuted this weekend.
Wow, Poltergeist made $23 million, huh? Yeah.
It was a good weekend.
I actually
for
wanted
movies.
To see that this morning, but I couldn't have time before.
I mean, the top 5 all made over $20 million, and then Hot Pursuit was number 6 with $3.4 million. Goodbye, Hot Pursuit. I was gonna go see that movie. I was like,
what's next weekend?
Aloha.
Oh, that's right.
And
I don't know why you say goodbye because I say hello.
And
also means,
by the way, that will be the song you need to use in.
It also means right. Love.
And San Andreas.
Oh, does it? San Andreas too, huh?
It means San Andreas is also next week too.
So it's a porn.
It is.
The earthquake. Movie
the rock.
Oh, the Rock.
I'll go
fighting
see
an earthquake.
I mean. Sometimes disaster movies are fun sometimes, and as long as Michael Bay has nothing to do with this.
On occasion, even I like to smell what the Rock is cooking.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michael Bay, I actually watched Transformers, the first one.
Why?
Last night. Huh?
Why?
Does it hold up?
Does it? Let me tell you. It made me remember how I felt when I first watched that movie, which was like
disdain. Disdain.
No, it was like, okay, that wasn't the worst movie I've ever
that's
seen.
Like that's like the first time after I saw X-Men 3. But I was like, it wasn't terrible, but
compared to the rest of them though, it's
Masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Compared to 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm assuming 4 is shitty.
He's seen it.
I haven't.
He's seen it.
It's even coming out.
I like how you watch 1 over again, but you won't go see 4.
It's streaming for free on Netflix.
Just watch it, man.
In June.
Just watch it. I'll tell you what. You watch it. We'll come back and do a retro show for Transformers 4.
So you can bask in the badness.
Wait, what's this character's motivation again? I don't know, because it changes every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I just, you know, one, I was like, okay, they established everything. Sure, the robots had no actual characterization.
Identity,
but... And, you know, Jazz's first line was, what's cracking little bitches?
God.
But, you know, I'll let that pass.
Scatman Crothers was rolling in his grave.
Yes, he was. and then 2 came out, which...
2 was atrocious.
It was so...
2 was so
trans-tumors.
Horrible.
Trans-tumors.
then 3-formers came out.
3-formers... You know what 3-formers' problem was?
Yes.
I mean, it had the plot problems of the others, but
it had the plot problems of a major theme park.
But it just went on and on and on.
Yeah, they all
on
do that.
On. Yeah. I mean, no, don't laugh. The Red Letter Media guys, what they did, I think, before Transformers 4 came out, is they basically played all 3 of the first ones at the same time. It's exactly the same every single time. Like, the beats are the same. They say, we should see it's Shia LaBeouf any second now. Yep, there he is. If you go to Red Letter Media, go check out their Transformers film. Because it's so funny.
I haven't watched the Star Wars one yet, man.
It's okay.
No, they don't
do like a whole thing. They just go through the movie. They're like watching it. I forget how long the video is. It's probably like 15 minutes or something. But they go through the whole, and they're like, everything's exactly the same. All the beats are exactly the same and everything. But the third one, I saw it on basic cable, and it was just like, I'm like, oh my God.
Are you saying they should turn the beat around?
Yes. I'm saying, I was just like, why? This movie just keeps on going. But the second one was just terrible. I mean, that was just, God. There was one good scene
Maybe
in that
it's
whole
just
movie.
A giant
and that was commercial. That was the forest fight.
Oh, the forest fight
was cool.
Forest fight was really cool.
Okay.
But the rest of it was just, I mean, those two racist characters and
Devastator
had
balls.
I hung my head in the theater when they put those out. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
And they go. He fucking butt fucked Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Because Bumblebee was speaking by the end of the first movie.
God.
Yeah.
He went right back to radio speak.
Yeah. Because that's what's cute and adorable.
No, it's totally cute.
Yeah. I remember when Bumblebee actually used to speak in complete sentences, and he was actually one of Prime's like most reliable guys.
Yeah. That ever happened?
Huh. And he was friends with Spike.
Hmm. Yeah. What show was that?
The Transformers.
Oh.
It was a show that was actually about the Transformers.
Yeah. Where they were like characters on the show?
Yes. They were the main characters on the show.
Really?
Courage!
It was funny.
Wheeljack. Wheeljack. Cube.
Wheeljack, you completely fucked up this project. I hold you responsible.
Goldbug.
You can't. Okay, I'll call you Shitbrick. Thanks, Prime.
Yeah.
You've seen those, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Smooth.
Perceptor.
This is my house, you asshole. Shockwave. Shockwave's burden. SOS Wheeljack and Shockwave's burden. Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, there was a channel on YouTube called Dr. Smoove, S-M-O-O-V. Check him out, because he took these Transformers cartoons from the 80s and basically redubbed them, and his voiceovers are perfect. His Prime is fantastic, and he just makes them, it's just comedy, it's just pure gold comedy. It's so funny. You got to check it out.
It is funny.
Wheeljack. I'm blaming you because you made the Dinobots super powerful and then didn't give them enough brains to know their head from their ass. Seal them in a cave forever.
What was this episode about again?
Oh. Tomorrowland?
What?
There were Transformers in Tomorrowland.
There were.
There were.
Sort of. They're robots.
Yeah.
I thought that helpful robot was going to come into play later. I thought for sure.
Like just born free, free as the wind.
So, to recap.
Everybody just learns to fly at the end of the movie.
Yeah, right?
Goes up into space.
I did like when George Clooney had the jetpack. That was cool. It's like, he embraced his younger self.
He did.
To have sex with that little girl. So, that little girl robot.
Yeah.
So, Tomorrowland, skip it, everybody. Go see it on... Go see Mad Max instead. And take your kids to see Mad Max. They'll love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely do that.
It probably would have been rated X in the 70s. So, next episode...
I mean, the only thing you can't say about Tomorrowland is kid-friendly.
Yes, it is kid-friendly. To the fact that they... It's like all their other live-action Disney movies that they've been doing lately. They just dumb it down completely, you know... There's no wing raping in this one like there was in Maleficent. But
when I first got out of it, I gave it a big pass. And the more I thought about it, I was like, no, but see, Disney knows how to do so much better.
They do.
They have done better.
But that's why I'm so disappointed.
You have to hold the movie accountable.
Because I hold Brad Bird to a high standard, just like Nolan. It's like, you know, Interstellar has big issues with the script, and I hold Nolan to a high standard. I'm like, come on, dude, what are you doing? He's slipping. It's like, you know, Nolan needs to contract, and he needs to make a smaller film again, because The Dark Knight Rises and Interstellar were just too big. They were just too big. Interstellar should have been an HBO fucking miniseries, and The Dark Knight Rises should have been two fucking movies. But whatever.
It was a good Superman movie plot. Dark Knight Rises. I mean, Superman deals with that kind of shit.
Forgot the most important part. The best redeeming thing about Tomorrowland. I got to see the Star Wars trailer in IMAX.
That's right.
Yeah!
High five. That's right. We did get to see the Star Wars trailer in IMAX.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes. And Superman v. Batman.
Oh, you did? We didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. That was in there, too.
They probably didn't want it to depress us.
Do you bleed? No, we can't have Tomorrowland.
But your parents did.
Real quick on that, I was watching Screen Junkies. They have their movie fights, and they talked about the Batman Superman and the panel. They really hit it right on the head. They're like, this trailer, you know, they're like, it's fine, but it doesn't really excite me for the movie because
you're talking about the Batman Superman.
They're like, I already know. Right. Everything they show me, I already know. It's Batman and Superman. Right. I know they're going to fight. That's it. It doesn't really excite me.
It is a fine trailer, but you're...
But one guy had a great, excellent point. He's like, this movie is a year away. He goes, this is a teaser. Exactly. They're just putting it out just to say, hey, movie's coming. And that, so I was like, you know, so I was like, yeah.
But it's okay. Also the first impression. And if your first impression is, I already know what's going to happen at the end of this movie,
No. It's not that they know what's going to happen at the end. It's like what they said is that everything they show in the trailer is stuff we already know. It's like, you know, oh, it's super. Yes, we know from the title. We know it's Superman. It's Batman.
The problem for me with that is that we kind of talked about this before on the podcast. Teaser trailers and trailers in general are getting too big. A teaser trailer used to just be, here's the logo coming on the screen.
Yeah.
And then coming, you know, summer 2017. Right. And that used to be the teaser trailer. Now, this was just a fucking trailer. It's 2.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's a trailer. There's nothing teaser about it. You can't just throw the word teaser in front of it and call it a teaser trailer just because it's a year away. You know, the whole idea of a teaser trailer has taken on such a new meaning.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. But the Star Wars trailer, I'd seen it 100 times already. And still, when Lucasfilm came on screen and everything's quiet, you just heard me going, and it was just inadvertent. I didn't mean to. You hear me go, yes. And everyone's like, what? It's just all quiet there, and you just hear me go, yes. And I was still excited about it. Someone's trying to talk to me, so I'm like,
were you on a date with Athena? Next episode.
It's not weird. She's 70.
That's right. In her mind. It's like Harold and Maude.
I know.
Oh, God. Next episode, we will probably be discussing, I would guess, Aloha.
Definitely Aloha. Maybe San Andreas.
Maybe San Andreas, but we will also be discussing...
POI.
Person of Interest. We can talk about that, but we'll also be discussing Melissa McCarthy's new movie, Spy.
Oh, sure. That's
which
right.
We are seeing this week.
Seeing, yeah.
I've already seen it. And I'm going to see it again because it was that funny. So that'll be our next episode. I don't believe Matt will be joining us for that one.
Not on that one. Sorry.
Because he won't be seeing any of those movies.
No.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. King returns maybe after we make a visit to a certain island in the Pacific.
Lost.
Yes.
The Hodgepodge show.
No, Jurassic Park.
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Sorry, yeah. Jurassic World. Jurassic World.
Get it right, motherfucker.
Sorry. But we'd like to thank Matt for stopping by again and beating the shit out of another movie.
Yeah. I guess this is just two in a row.
Well, no, Mad Max. We liked Mad Max.
Oh, that's true. We like Mad Max.
And Avengers. We were medium on.
We were kind of hard on Avengers. I listened to that podcast. We were a little hard on it.
Yeah, I guess.
But.
I don't know.
You know, after you see it 5 or 6 times, it really grows.
How many times have you seen it? 5, 6 times?
No,
oh,
no,
my
no,
God.
I'm just kidding.
It's not The Dark Knight.
It's only four. It's only four.
I may go see it again. But I might go see Mad Max again, honestly. But...
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see Mad Max again.
You know, when you go. But we will see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.
Tomorrow, does it have to come? You put your arms around